Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And good morning to you, Sherry Brownrigg, in for Teresa Tomeo, who is still on Holy Land pilgrimage with Steve Ray. So, hope she's having a wonderful time, soaking up all those graces. And, you know, if you haven't taken a Holy Land pilgrimage, by the way, you really need to do that. It will supercharge your faith. You know where all these things in the Bible that you read about, you can visualize them. You know where they happen, how close they are to one another, etc. So it's really an opportunity. Boy, we've got a great show for you this hour. We're going to talk first with Allison Gingras and learn to see and accept Jesus' invitation to live a more grace-filled life, something we all need. Did you know as well that there's an incredible shrine that honors Our Lady right here in the U.S., Our Lady of Guadalupe? Well, you're going to find out about it in this hour's show, and you thought you had to go to a foreign country, huh? Nope, you don't. And we're also going to talk with Joan Lewis in Rome. We talk with her every Wednesday, and we'll talk about the Vatican Summit on Sexual Abuse and the letter that came out from Cardinals, the two Cardinals, Brand Mueller and Cardinal Burke. So that's going to be very, very interesting. You know, it's the eve today of the Vatican Summit on Sexual Abuse of Minors, and that starts tomorrow, as I said. Catholic Women's Forum, which is a branch of the Ethics and Public Policy Center, yesterday they published the clergy sexual abuse, the results of a survey that they did with Catholic women across America on the clergy sexual abuse scandals. And it was fascinating. I actually took this survey myself, and they had over 5,000 women who replied, and 94% of the respondents attend Mass at least every Sunday. So to give you the context of this, this is from very faithful Catholic women who are engaged in their parish, they're engaged in the church, they're following Christ, trying to live their life according to his laws. And so it's really the faithful. And they had some very interesting findings. And I want to tell you about the three key findings that they had. The first one is that the crisis has had a very widespread impact on women's life. And most women surveyed said that their faith in God is the same or stronger because of the crisis. And I was one that said my faith actually became stronger because I went right to Jesus, right to the source of the church, which I think is probably, you know, of course, where we all should go. And it really helped me in my faith because it helped me to realize that, you know, it's not the people in the church where the holiness comes from. It's from Christ who is at the center of the church. But so many of the same women express significant distrust of the hierarchy. And the crisis negatively affects evangelization and women's financial support for the church as well, which is, you know, clearly going to be a problem. And the second key finding is that women identify clergy sexual activity, what has been called double lives, poor seminary screening and formation, and issues of hierarchical power and governance as key factors that underlie the crisis. And I was right along the same lines there. And in terms of the solution, the third key finding was that really it's all about integrity. Women express overwhelming support for a code of conduct for bishops, for an end to clergy double lives, and for institutional reforms to increase transparency and accountability. Can I get an amen? I mean, seriously, this is something that is, I think really, you know, most of us in the church, whether you're a woman or a man, this happened to be a survey of women, I think you can agree that, you know, that's really the issue. And it's very important for us to be able to find some real, I think, real solutions to the problem. Well, 68% of women, again, said that their faith was unchanged. 27% report their faith had deepened. But this is what's really surprising. 13% of these women say that they have struggled with the question of whether to remain Catholic. And remember, these are women who 94% of them go to church, go to Mass, attend Mass, you know, at least weekly and typically more often than that. That's an amazing statistic and shows, you know, I think that the assumption has been that a lot of folks who are marginally Catholic are just thinking, well, you know, we're just going to continue to go to church and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, and they eventually fall away. But this is talking about women who are faithful, are saying that they're really struggling with this question of whether to remain Catholic. It's a very large number. And I think one of the things that was most fascinating to me and perhaps maybe sad is the distrust of the hierarchy. This is what the numbers kind of came down here, that the question was, how much do you trust your priest, your bishop, and Vatican officials to do the right thing in handling issues related to the clergy's sexual abuse crisis? So in the Vatican, 87% said that they had not much or no trust in the Vatican to handle the sexual abuse crisis. 87%. 42% said that they did not have much trust or no trust in their bishop to handle it. And 16% said they had no trust or not much trust in the priest at their parish to handle it. Absolutely, really eye-opening. And, you know, for our hierarchy, this is something that this letter was sent to the bishops ahead of this and to the Vatican, the abuse summit tomorrow. But I hope that they're looking at this because, I mean, that's very, very important for all of us to really understand that. And, you know, it's 98% of women say it's extremely or very important to address the culture of secrecy and cover-ups created by the hierarchy's basically tolerance of sexually active clergy, 98%. And what this is pointing to is the tendency of the church to focus on the abuse of children, which, of course, is a horrible thing. It has to be addressed, and it has to be addressed strongly. But when the research is showing that so much abuse is really directed toward young males after puberty, there's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And that's what this study is really pointing to, is that there is this double life that is happening with so many of the clergy, and the hierarchy is simply looking the other way. Most of us think about our own parish pastor, and we think, you know, not my parish pastor. He's wonderful, and that's probably true. But there is a, you know, there's a book coming out that says 80% of those clergy who are in the Vatican are actually engaged, well, they're homosexual, and many of them engaged in a homosexual kind of an undercurrent activity. And again, homosexuals are loved by God, and we should love them, but we do not have to love the sin. Homosexual activity is incompatible in the priesthood, and it's a violation of vows, natural law, and the gospel of Christ. So we need to speak out about this and ask our bishops and the Pope to be strong in this area. And, you know, there's just really nothing else that we can do. And it's not up just to ladies. It's up to all of us. So let's keep that in mind. And at 8 minutes past the hour, it is time for news. A huge winter storm expected to slam every state east of the Mississippi River is canceling classes, restricting travel, and dumping snow and ice as it moves east. Mark Mayfield has more.
Forecasters say the worst of the storm is going to pound Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, New York City, and Washington today. More than 1,000 flights have already been canceled. Ice is going to threaten communities from across the Appalachians, from southwestern North Carolina up through Pennsylvania, and into parts of southern New York State. Ice more than a half inch thick across Virginia and West Virginia is likely to take down power lines and tree branches while making roads treacherous. Classes and activities are canceled today for schools in Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Attorneys representing the family of a Kentucky Catholic high school student at the center of a national news story are filing a defamation lawsuit against the Washington Post. Nick Sandman's family seeks $250 million in compensatory and punitive damages. The lawsuit was filed in U.S. District Court in Kentucky, could be the first of many over a January 18th confrontation that went viral. The Kentucky family accuses the Post of targeting the teen in a modern-day form of McCarthyism. It claims the paper falsely gave its readers the impression the 16-year-old engaged in acts of racism. Russian President Vladimir Putin delivered his annual address to the Russian Federal Assembly today, and his speech included a direct threat to the United States. Correspondent Bill Zimfer tells us more.
Putin said U.S. leaders should do the math and calculate the flight range and velocity of Russia's cutting-edge weapons before making any decisions which could pose a threat to Russia. Putin added that there are those in the ruling elite in the U.S. who are, as he put it, excessively fascinated with the idea of their superiority over the rest of the world. Putin also added that the production of the next generation of Russian hypersonic weapons is proceeding on schedule.
President Trump says he is confident about prevailing in the dispute over the U.S.-Mexican border.
I have an absolute right to call national security. We need strong borders. We have to stop drugs and crime and criminals and human trafficking, and we have to stop all of those things that a strong wall will stop.
During a White House photo op yesterday, Trump defended his declaration of a national emergency at the border. He dismissed legal challenges and called it an open and shut case. 16 states are challenging the presidential order in federal court. Trump again accused Democrats of playing political games with border security. An international summit will be held at the Vatican this week to discuss the protection of minors in the Catholic Church. Presidents of all the bishops' conferences from around the world are expected to attend the abuse summit, including the heads of Eastern Catholic churches, the heads of major Vatican offices, and the leaders of religious orders. Pope Francis in January tried to tamp down expectations for the summit, saying the problem of abuse will continue and that, quote, it's a human problem, unquote. The summit runs from Thursday through Sunday. Seven students in Lawrence, South Carolina are recovering after their school bus ran off the road, hit some trees, crossed back over the road, and went down an embankment. Karen Huss says five of her grandchildren were on that bus.
She called crying and told us where she was at, and we came. I'm taking them home. They shook up, but they're going home.
South Carolina Highway Patrol reported the crash happened around 7 a.m. yesterday. The bus driver has been charged with driving too fast for the conditions. General Motors Chairman and CEO Mary Barra announced a major investment in the automaker's assembly plant in Lansing. The company will spend $36 million on upgrades at the factory that builds the Chevrolet Traverse and Buick Enclave crossover utility vehicles. Barra said there will not be any jobs added at the plant that currently runs two full-time shifts with overtime. However, she said they will consider adding more work if it is sustainable. And finally, throngs of police officers will be gathering on Long Island today to say goodbye to veteran NYPD Detective Brian Simonson. Scott Pringle reports.
Brian Simonson is described as a model detective, and he was known for watching out for the Richmond Hill, Queens community where he worked for nearly two decades. Chief Joseph Kenny, among the many who packed the church for his wake yesterday.
Best compliment you can give a New York City police detective is to say, I wouldn't want that guy looking for me. And that was Brian in a nutshell. Not only was he a great detective, he was a fantastic husband.
Mayor de Blasio will be among those giving eulogies. Now, Simonson was killed by friendly fire last week responding to a robbery. The funeral for the Calverton, Long Island man taking place this morning in Hampton Bays.
That's our news for today. 13 past the hour, getting dangerously close to 14 past the hour. Hope you're not late. Coming up next here on Catholic Connection, I'm so excited about this. We're going to be talking with Allison Gingras, and she just is all over the place. Everyone knows Allison, and she's got a book out that is really going to help you see and accept Jesus' invitation to live a more grace-filled life. And don't we all need that? I think we do. That's coming up next here on Catholic Connection.
Who's the head of your home and family? Is it Jesus Christ? Call the Men of Sacred Hearts to show you how to place Jesus as the head of your family and show you how to use the Holy Rosary to learn what is on your child's heart that they're not telling you. Watch one mom's testimonial on our webpage, menofthesacredhearts.org, and call us to set up your appointment today, 586-264-8550. This message is brought to you by Office Express. Let's all support each other. OEXUSA.com.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you with who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent agent. Get Choice Insurance Agency, representing auto owners insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. Call Greg at Choice Insurance at 734-641-4200, who will protect you in that moment. Call 734-641-4200.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, you often hear the word extreme used today to describe certain experiences, beliefs, and behaviors. While we might consider the desert monks to be extreme, they are actually the model for the normal Christian.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
Past the hour. Morning to you, Sherry Brown. Rick in for Teresa Tomeo, still on a Holy Land pilgrimage with Steve Ray. And I'm so excited about this segment of the show because we get to talk to my good friend Allison Gingras. And Allison is a Catholic author. She's a social media evangelist. I love that phrase. International speaker, retreat leader, blogger, podcaster, and an incredibly wonderful human being. Hello, Allison. How are you?
I am wonderful, Sherry. I'm always excited to have some time with you.
There's never enough, is there?
Never, never, never.
And we only have 10 minutes this time, so go figure.
But I want to talk... I thought I had five.
Yeah. That's okay. It'll be easy. It's us. I love this book. And I just have to say that Allison sent me a copy of this book, and she inscribed it, so it's one of my favorites. But, you know, it's part of the Stay Connected Journals for Catholic Women, which we'll talk about in a minute. But it's called Stay Connected, The Gift of Invitation, Seven Ways Jesus Invites You to a Life of Grace. And I'm holding it up to the microphone as if people can see it, but, you know, it's just beautiful. Tell us a little bit about, first of all, the Journals for Catholic Women. How did you decide to create this series, Allison?
Well, I have been in the Bible study now for over 10 years, and I love how much in the last 10 years women, the Catholic publishers, have just really given women such beautiful books to read. But sometimes, you know, when you finish a good long book, you're tired, but you really want your group to stay together. So I love to read, but I have other things that take up my time, and I can't always get through, you know, 150, 200 page book. But I couldn't find out in the publishing world at that time anything that was small that would keep us connected to God and to each other. So I brought my problem to God, you know, like I always do. Lord, we have a problem, and you need to fix it. This time, though, the answer was, yes, Allison, and I'd like you to do it, which, of course, I laughed out loud. Lord, no, this is not how this works. I bring you problems, and you fix them, not with me. Like, you have to find somebody who's more qualified.
No.
No, this is not how this works, Lord.
That's so funny.
But in this case, it was. He did use me, and I just kept praying and searching, and I realized that I couldn't write all of them. So I wrote the first one, The Gift of Invitation, and then I brilliantly, I'm going to say brilliantly, found other women to join me in writing the others in the series.
Well, it was brilliant because then, you know, the load, you're still doing it because you're activating other people, but and the job is getting done, and the wonderful gifts and resources are getting to other people, but you didn't have to do it all. So it is brilliant.
Well, and they came out wonderful, and they really are working to keep us connected to each other and to God. And, you know, each book has the same format. We have opening and closing prayers. We have reflection scripture that you have to actually open up your book and your Bible and jump in and look up scriptures yourself, and then discussion questions. All the things that I was asking God for, he put on my heart and helped me write in these books.
Well, you know, with this particular one, which is the newest one, correct? The Gift of Invitation, Seven Ways Jesus Invites You to... Yeah, so it's the newest one. And Seven Ways Jesus Invites You to a Life of Grace. You know, I think many of us, we work hard at trying to live our lives, you know, according to God's law. sometimes we kind of forget about the grace. We forget about what he has for us, Allison. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, this book here and how it really helps us to not only see these graces, but also to accept them and to live that life full of grace?
Well, I think the best example of why grace is so important is, of course, our Blessed Mother. And I have to be very careful how I say this. Sometimes I say our Blessed Mother was full of it. So I have to be careful to say exactly what she's full of.
I think she's laughing right now.
I think she laughs every time I forget myself and say it that way. Like they're beat red. Our Blessed Mother is just full of it. But she's full of grace. So we have to look at why is grace so important. And we see that for her, she was able to say yes to God, to the most amazing thing ever asked of a woman, ever. And why was she able to say yes? Because she was living out the tenets of her faith. She was connected to God. And how did she do that? She did it through grace. And I like to call it the grace trifecta. Like, grace is abundant in this world, but how do we get it? How do we connect to this grace? And for me, the grace trifecta is prayer, sacrament, and scripture. These three things that the Lord has given us in abundance that every single day we can tap into to receive that grace that he has for us through prayer, sacrament, and scripture.
I'm writing it down, prayer, sacrament, and scripture. So how is this
book? Great trifecta. I love making
it. It is wonderful. Yeah, talking with Allison Gingras, and she is the author of Stay Connected, Journals for Catholic Women, The Gift of Invitation, 7 Ways Jesus Invites You to a Life of Grace. And, you know, we often think about, oh, for Lent, you know, I'm going to do a program here where I'm, you know, doing readings and then writing things down coming up in, is it 2 weeks from today? Gosh, I think it might be. Oh, thank you. Okay. Yes, it's coming very soon. Is this book appropriate for Lent? Is it appropriate for study, you know, at your home by yourself? Is it appropriate for being together in a group as you experienced it? What's the best way to use this book?
The short answer is yes. It's good for all of that. It is designed for a small group. This is because I've been in small group Bible study again for 10 years, and I find the accountability of getting together with my sisters in Christ is invaluable in my life. I know that I can get so busy that I can, you know, give God that, good morning, Lord, thank you for this day, just guide me, and then we're off and running. And I forget that there's so much more to God than just a quick pass-by prayer. You know, a drive-by prayer. God wants so much more from us. So I find that going into study and weekly meetings with my sisters again in Christ is invaluable. So I created a book that you can do at by yourself at home, but really is the richest when it's done with others. I kind of made it like Bible study for dummies. You know, the opening and closing prayer, you'll have to think about how you're going to begin and close your prayer. People get like really overwhelmed when they think, I have to facilitate a group or I have to lead a group. No, you just have to bring your friends together, get a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, whichever you prefer, and then you open the book, and within an hour and a half, 2 hours, you can actually do this, each chapter together. You can look up the scriptures together. There's questions. Again, you can even read it together. You can either do it alone or do your homework and then come together. There's no wrong way, really, of studying God's Word and coming together. But the Lent is perfect because it includes that prayer, sacrament, and scripture. It's really that grace trifecta to get you through the season.
Allison, I love the way you talk about women being together and doing this, too, because there is such power in that. I was talking early in the hour about the survey that came out, you know, surveying 5,000 Catholic women in terms of, you know, what the answer is and frustration that's being experienced about the sexual abuse crisis. And women coming together can do incredible things. And when you actually come together with one another in this kind of a context, you know, I think there is incredible power in growing in faith together. And how that filters in throughout, you know, so many different lives, our children's, our husbands, you know, at work, whoever we touch. Can you comment on that? We've got about 2 minutes, but let's make sure we get that in.
Well, for me, to that question, why do you remain Catholic in the middle of all of this? For me, it has been focusing on why I'm Catholic, focusing on Christ and His church and what He has to offer me, and trying to stay positive, a very positive person, and trying to stay focused on the blessings of the church and what it gives us, the sacraments, and how it's flawed. I'm flawed. The world is flawed, but God is not. And focusing on Christ and what He has to offer us, and that hope of heaven, that for me has kept me Catholic. And coming together and with women and kind of encouraging each other has been really invaluable for me getting through this crisis.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah, and just growing deeper in your faith with one another. You know, that's really the biblical way. We're modeling literally that those early Christian communities. So, Allison, how can someone get this book?
They can go to gracewatch.media/connected. They can go to their local Catholic bookstore. I'm always encouraging that. They can a bookstore owner can get it for you, or Amazon.com.
You can also get it at Allison's website, which is reconciledtoyou.com, reconciledtoyou.com. And hint, hint, there's a special price if you want to get all three of the journals. So I just want to recommend that. Allison, thank you so much for being with us. And thank you for saying yes to God and helping us to live that grace-filled life. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about a shrine right in your own backyard. Stay with us here on Catholic Connection.
The Wine Palace in Livonia is a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio. The Wine Palace is a family-owned business for over 60 years where customers come in for great service. The 9,000-square-foot store includes a humidor, specialty wine room, deli, and a rare and collectible spirits room. We have the largest selection of spirits in the state at the most competitive prices. Ask for one of the brothers, Cliff or Kelly, and thank them for their strong support of Catholic Radio. Delivery is available. Please visit the Wine Palace at I-96 in Middlebelt or at winepalace.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. I'd like to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me. Why a pilgrimage? It's life-changing. It makes the Bible come alive. We have several coming up in the fall and winter of this year. St. Paul Cruise, 9 biblical sites, Mexico and Guadalupe. It's very safe and beautiful, by the way, and many to the Holy Land.
Pick the pilgrimage that's right for you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimage link. There's 2 coming up and a lot more to come. AveMariaRadio.net.
Past the hour, Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tomeo. Later on this hour, we're going to be hearing from Joan Lewis in Rome. Of course, that's where she is. She joins us every Wednesday towards the end of the show, but we're going to be talking about something very important, of course, the Sexual Abuse Summit that starts tomorrow in Rome. So Joan has written about that on her blog, and she's going to talk to us about that. But now I have Elizabeth Westhoff with us, and Elizabeth is the communications director at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's a brand new position for her, and so exciting, and what a thrill, Elizabeth, to have you on the show today. How are you?
Well, I am very well, and it's a thrill for me as well, my friend, because Teresa is a friend, and so I'm happy to be on her show, but you're also a good friend, and if we get a little goofy, everybody's going to have to understand that we have a relationship off the air. Right, right.
It just happens, that's right, yeah.
But yeah, it's a new position for me. For the last 14 years, I have been with the Archdiocese of St. Louis here in St. Louis, Missouri, and have been in communications there. And His Eminence, Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke, was the Archbishop here in St. Louis about 14 years ago, and I developed a professional relationship with him then. He brought me over to the Archdiocese proper from my role as Director of Communications at Catholic Charities, and we've been buddies since. So the Cardinal founded the shrine in La Crosse and was hoping to sort of up the game there a little bit as far as marketing and communications was concerned, because the shrine has been around for 10 years, and I think a lot of people haven't really been aware of it. But it's been in that sort of startup phase. You know, I mean, 10 years may seem like a long time, but when it comes to building an international destination, you know, 10 years is really the infancy.
That's right. Yeah, it's in the infancy. But now, you know, with your appointment, I mean, it really shows that it's ready for prime time. And I remember being in La Crosse years and years ago, and when it was just new. I mean, I think it literally had opened, and it was absolutely incredibly beautiful. And as I look on the website, you know, there's a lot more that has been built since. And the thing is like you said, so few people really know it's there, but it's right there in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's an incredible place to visit and pray. And so many different things are going on here. But, you know, when you said that Cardinal Burke founded it and that he was trying to up the game there in the diocese, did he actually found it for the Diocese of La Crosse, or did he envision it as something that would become an international destination one day?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that, like you said, when you were there, the shrine still had that new shrine smell. And so it still is sort of new for a lot of people, but you're right. It was founded I said a decade ago, and in that time it has really developed into something bigger, I think, than even the initial intent was. And I think that when then Bishop Burke was Bishop of La Crosse, because he of course is from Richland Prairie, Wisconsin, and La Crosse was a very important city to him. It has a very special place in his heart, and it was very important for him to establish this shrine in the city where he had been, or where he was bishop at the time. You know, with the history of La Crosse, I'm getting ready to move there myself, actually, so I was there just a couple of days ago over the weekend, and
where your warm
it has
coat.
A very and my Nanook of the North boots is
and
as,
your hat
as
and your mittens
refers to. And I brought along a huge bear in case I just needed to, you know, cozy in. But but he really did establish it with the intent of being an important place of reflection there in La Crosse. And you know, the fact that La Crosse was sort of discovered by the French who were, you know, going up and down the river, and the importance that the French missionaries had at the time. It's really, you know, St. Louis, La Crosse, New Orleans, we all share that designation of being a river city on the
sure.
Mississippi, but we also have that great rich history of being founded as Catholic cities, and so La Crosse was one of those. So I think initially it's very fitting, and His Eminence founded it there because that was his diocese at the time. But what's beautiful about this is that it is becoming very well known throughout the United States, not as well as it will be, but internationally. I mean, it is literally like walking. You go up into these bluffs in La Crosse, which are just breathtakingly beautiful any time
indeed.
Of year.
Yeah,
and you go up there and you walk into this building that was designed by architect Duncan Stroik, and His Eminence worked with Mr. Stroik on this, and it's like walking into Italy. Anything in Italy is comparable to this shrine, and the grounds are so beautiful and peaceful. The church itself is It's literally, it's breathtaking. It is a masterpiece of modern classical architecture tucked away on these beautiful bluffs in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And the opportunity for pilgrimage is so important because, you know, it's not supposed to be terribly easy to get to a pilgrimage location, right? You're supposed to, it's supposed to be a little tough to get where you're going. Now, that's not to say that, you know, La Crosse, Wisconsin is tough to get to, but it is, you know, not, you know,
I know what you're
somebody
saying.
From California
yeah.
has to fly in and make arrangements, and then you've got to get up to the shrine but the fact of the matter is, pilgrimages are always worth it because at the end, then the designation at the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, there is an indulgence attached to the shrine. So when you go and you are going with the intent of making a journey for our Lord and you know you are aware of your sinful life and you go and you make reparation and you go to confession while you're there, you make use of the sacrament of reconciliation and receive communion at this shrine and meditate on Our Lady of Guadalupe and the Mother of Christ and our Lord and their journeys, it's a profound experience, and your soul and your mind will be better for making the trip.
Okay, I'll be there tomorrow. All right, sounds
excellent.
Good. Well, listen, you know, we're almost out of time, which makes me very sad because there's so much more that we can talk about the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, but let's have you back, and we can talk more about it then because, you know, by then you'll be completely steeped in everything going on at the shrine. But you can find out more by going to GuadalupeShrine.org, GuadalupeShrine.org, and really take Elizabeth's suggestion to come and visit. Make this a pilgrimage. You can do it right here. And for those of us in the Midwest, come on, we know it's not that far. We can do this. But Elizabeth, thank you so much for being on here, and I hope you dress warmly in your move to La Crosse. Don't freeze.
Thank you, my friend. There's all sorts of furry things in my future.
Okay. That's good to know. That's Elizabeth Westhoff. She's Communications Director at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and it's founded by Cardinal Burke and a beautiful, beautiful place. Again, the website, GuadalupeShrine.org. Next up, Joan Lewis from Rhone, talking about this Vatican Summit on Sexual Abuse. That's next here on Catholic Connection. Stay with us.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
How do you make your love's heart beat faster during Valentine's month? Buy a new car or truck while the deals are sweet. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And during Ram Truck Month, you can lease a new 2019 Ram 4x4 Bighorn for only $239 per month. Ram was just awarded the Motor Trend Truck of the Year for the second time. Come in and see 70 that we have in stock only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Don't miss Dr. Janet Smith as the keynote speaker on the sex abuse crisis and the future of the Catholic Church. Additional perspectives will be from Catholic educators, medical professionals, and students. Ave's own Al Cresto will moderate the discussion Saturday, March 2nd from 9 to noon at the Michigan League on the campus of the University of Michigan. Register at fgrhs.org/lecture series. That's fgrhs.org/lecture series. Brought to you in part by Father Gabriel Richard and Ave Maria Radio.
About 20 minutes before the top of the hour. Sherry Brownrigg in for Teresa Tomeo, still on pilgrimage in the Holy Land with Steve Ray. And coming up this segment, if you tuned in the early part of the show, you heard me talk about some different things that that are happening this week. Of course, the big one is the Vatican Summit on Sexual Abuse of Minors that begins tomorrow in Rome. And Joan Lewis is with us. And Joan, you know, you have such a great perspective about this. I'm so grateful that you're coming on and talking about this. And you wrote a wonderful blog at jonesrome.wordpress.com. This is a big deal, Joan, isn't it?
It really is enormous. And if you had just kind of stepped in from outer space into the press office on Monday, you might have thought that this certainly was the biggest event of decades in the Vatican, just given the press coverage. I want to say there was standing room only, and we have a very good size press conference room at the Vatican, but I'm not even sure there was standing room only. Dozens and dozens of cameras, obviously every journalist there was also in some manner or other recording the press conference, because the idea of the conference on Monday was to have several of the organizers of this Protection of Minors conference that, as you said, begins tomorrow, have them explain the program. It was they all made comments in the beginning, Cardinal Supich of Chicago, and the very amazing, if you allow me to say so, Archbishop Scicluna of Malta, who worked for many years in Rome at the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith solely on clerical sex abuse cases. And he was very big last year in solving some problems between sex abuse survivors in Chile and the Holy Father, who in the beginning did not believe the testimony, and then after research by Archbishop Scicluna, the Holy Father had to admit, he said, I was wrong and I'm part of the problem. Mm. And who does want to admit that even one member of the clergy in the world has abused either a child or had wrong relations, with an adult. So also, there was Father Hans Zollner, and he heads an abuse commission at the office at the Jesuit-run Gregorian University. So, I mean, it was an amazing presentation by people who'd been involved in setting up of this conference on protection of minors. And I remember one of the big criticisms when this was announced in September was, oh my gosh, this is such an urgent issue. How can we wait till February?
Exactly.
Well, I have to admit, two of the things that came up at the press conference yesterday were the digital press kit that was going to be given to the media, which is phenomenal. It's something that the Vatican would normally put together in a conclave situation, that kind of huge event situation. And then, of course, there's an amazing website, which is updated as events take place, called pbc2019.org. So a lot of time, work, and effort went into creating those two entities, if you will, those two ways that we in the media and then by the website the rest of the world can keep up with what's happening, who will be speaking at the conferences, Cardinal Tagle, for example, tomorrow morning and so forth. So it's a hugely important event. And one of the questions that somebody asked, of course, there was over an hour of just question and answer sessions. And one of the questions was, how come they had to wait so long for this, and what other issues are going to be? Oh, there were so many questions, I don't even know where to begin. But I have to say, in all fairness, and those of our listeners who might have been reading some of the reports, maybe especially in English, possibly in other languages, I was very pleased to see that most of the coverage, the overwhelming majority of the coverage of Monday's press conference was fair to the coverage. In other words, when tough questions were asked of Scicluna or Zollner or Cardinal Supich, the tough question was asked in the report and then the answers were given. I didn't see that much spinning. obviously secular media will have a different, might have a different look than the Catholic media will. So the question came up, and again, yesterday or today when I posted my blog on the letter, a letter was just released by Cardinals Walter Brandmüller and Raymond Burke. Mm-hmm. They are two of the original four signers of a document in 2016, a document that's been dubbed the Dubia. The four cardinals, two of whom have since died, Cardinal Meissner and Cardinal Caffara, four cardinals had questions that they posed to the Holy Father in the form of doubts, dubia, about his document Amoris Laetitia. And they, to this day, no answer has ever been given by the Pope to their questions. So interestingly enough, here we are in the opening day, before the opening day of the conference, the Cardinals Burke and Brandmüller release a letter basically asking the conference to face an issue what many, I included, have called the elephant in the room, the question of homosexuality among the clergy.
Right.
Because this meeting is called, in capital letters, for the protection of minors. And homosexuality has not been a part of the preparatory documents about the before this conference. The word, it came out with difficulty yesterday, to be honest, on the part of the peer of the panel. The reason so many journalists were focusing on this Monday is that many studies have been done, statistics, et cetera, that show that close to, and boy, this is hard to say, or perhaps above 80% of clerical sex abuse is homosexual. And I know our own Catholic registers, Edward Penton, asked, he said, you know, this meeting is supposed to be on the protection of minors and vulnerable adults, but he said, will it include abuse of vulnerable adults and seminarians? In other words, you know, homosexuality. Now, Archbishop Scicluna of Malta did say other types of conduct will be addressed. But the reason the letter was so important from the two cardinals, they were addressing this. The letter, by the way, I forgot to say, was to the heads of bishops' conferences. And the letter asks, will you also be silenced? We turn to you with deep distress. The Catholic world is adrift. And with anguish, the question is asked, where is the church going?
Yeah.
And they do begin by addressing right away the issue. They said, before the drift in progress, it seems difficulty is reduced to that of the abuse of minors, a horrible crime, especially when perpetrated by a priest, which, however, is only part of a much greater crisis.
Exactly.
The plague of the homosexual agenda has been spread within the church, promoted by organized networks, and protected by a climate of complicity and a conspiracy of silence. Now, that's the main thrust of their letter. And so they're trying to say to the world, you all have not seemed to tackle what actually is the bigger problem in this issue. So it'll be fascinating to watch in coming days what comes out every day at the press briefings, because Thursday, Friday, and Saturday are the three full-day morning and afternoon meeting sessions, and then in the afternoon on Saturday there will be a penitential liturgical function in the not in the Synod Hall where the meetings take place, but in the Sala Regia of the Vatican, a very beautiful hall. And then that's where the closing Mass will be with the Holy Father. He won't give the homily, but he will be speaking afterwards. So,
okay. Well, Joan, let's pause there just for a moment here, because we've got to give our stations a break here. But we've got a lot more with Joan to come, and we're going to talk more about this, the summit that takes place in Rome tomorrow, addressing the abuse of minors. And if you want to read Joan's blog, in the meantime, jonesrome.wordpress.com, very, very good blog. And we'll be back with more with Joan Lewis here in just a minute on Catholic Connection.
abortion,
pornography,
embryonic stem cell research,
corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objective risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Scholars have often questioned how much the New Testament can really tell us about the mother of Jesus. After all, Mary appears in only a few accounts and speaks on limited occasions. Can Scripture really support the many Marian beliefs developed within Catholicism? Ed Sree will join us with an in-depth look at Mary and the New Testament.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
How do I handle difficult family members? When do I correct others? When do I hold my tongue? Too often we're late in realizing that we mishandle a situation, causing both resentment and frustration. Hi everybody, I'm Dr. Ray. And in my new book, Thinking Like Jesus, I tackle these questions and more. Check it out and more of my books at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Welcome back to the program. Sherry Brown Rigg in for Teresa Tomeo here on Catholic Connection. And we're talking with Joan Lewis. She's in Rome and getting ready for the start of the Vatican Summit on Sexual Abuse of Minors. And we've been talking about that. And Joan, we had to hold it where you were talking before, but you're kind of setting the scene for the start of this conference. And, right. You know, it's very, very interesting. And one thing that you had mentioned is that that there's so much silence around what many, many of us are really seeing as you mentioned, the elephant in the room, and that is the homosexual activity that so many priests seem to be kind of engaged in around the world, and also with the failure to address it.
Absolutely. It just seems that in some societies, countries, cultures, etc., that what you and I would consider wrongdoing, a breaking of one's vows, a moral huge error, that people who, well, you can't, a priest can't be married, but priests or bishops living with someone having a family. Mm. Homosexuality in some cultures is not frowned upon as it should be. As we look at it, we don't look at it as a political thing in the Catholic Church. We look at it as a huge moral wrong. That's our code. That's what we believe in. That's how, just look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church and the teaching on homosexuality. But if you're talking about a priest, or for heaven's sakes a bishop or anyone else, you're talking about the breaking of a sacred vow. And so are these vows no longer seen as sacred? If people are breaking their vow, why is this accepted? And I think this is what the whole conference is about. It should be about the breaking of a vow, because whether you abuse a minor or have a relation with someone of your same sex, and one of those parties is a priest, you are breaking a vow. So you've got to look at what's behind that and accountability. You've got to have accountability. Now, the Council of Cardinals that advises the Holy Father just finished a 3-day meeting today. And it's called the C9. There's actually only 6, not 9 cardinals on it anymore. But one of the things that they talked about today was the meeting that starts, one of the things that the press briefing told us that the cardinals talked about was tomorrow's, the beginning of this meeting. But they insisted that it was going to be the press briefing said it was going to be on the abuse of minors. So are they turning a deaf ear on another issue? We're only going to see that if and when we can capture some of the main protagonists of this and, you know, the cardinals and archbishops and people we know participating in this. Cardinal DiNardo, obviously, head of our bishops' conference, will be here tomorrow. So will they face this? And I know it's a huge thing in America, Australia, Germany, other countries. People want accountability.
Right.
If there was a cover-up, why? Again, McCarrick comes to mind. He was just laicized. And he was also a point of the meeting this morning with the, I mean, of the last 3 days of this Council of Cardinals. So, yeah, how did it happen that
right.
he got, or others?
That just broke my heart, too.
It has to be.
Right.
Well,
it just broke my heart thinking about
that. Accountability, responsibility, and transparency.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we've only got a few minutes left here, Joan, but what are your hopes for the meeting? What do you think is going to come of it, the summit?
I hope that as difficult as it will be for any of the participants to want to get to the hard stuff, they are going to have to recognize facts that they aren't talking about, such as a homosexual culture. They are going to have to do the hard work of accountability, particularly bishops come to mind more than anything else. They have got to set up a code. I mean, our own bishops' conference was stopped in November from trying to set up a code of oversight code for bishops. Well, we have it for priests. Why wouldn't you have it for a bishop if he's doing the same thing
sense.
A priest is, or he's covering up? So there's got to be a code that comes out of this. There have to be some kind of tangible results, not the meetings were wonderful, they were this, they were that,
that's right.
And we'll be back here
yeah.
next year. You just
Joan, we've got to leave it there, but I really want to encourage all of our listeners to pray. Pray for the summit, pray for your bishops. And don't lose hope. Go right to Jesus. He is our hope. He's the center of the Catholic Church. So thanks for being with me today. Vanessa Denagarmo is going to be with you tomorrow. And until then, may God's blessings fill your life today. Thanks for listening to Catholic Connection. God bless.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.